Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
We're starting a brand new season today called Presence. Presence. And normally when Christians talk about presence, it's about the presence of God. But today, I want us to recognize that each of us have a presence, that we're present. We're present in the moment. And the other day, the other day, my son said, "Dad, I think you've had too much screen time." I wasn't present. And so we know that we can be there, the lights can be on, but no one's home. We don't want to sleep on what God is doing. I'm so thankful that each of you, you've made it into the building here today. And those of you online, that you're dialed in. And by God's grace, you're present here with us today. But we don't want to miss what God is doing. We don't just want to be in the building. We want to be present to what God is doing. And so we're going to look for 4 weeks at what God are you doing and how can we be here for one another? How can we be present in what you're doing moment by moment for one another? So today we're looking at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. If you've got a Bible present with you, go turn to that Bible. I'm going to keep circling back and referring to it as we walk through the text today and learning how we can be present in partnership. God has given us partnership with one another and partnership with Him so that we won't miss our moment. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain," and that is through His flesh. We're going to talk about that later. "And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true hearts, full assurance and full of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as the day draws near." Father, I pray that you'd speak to us through this passage, that we'd be present to what you're doing, that we would not miss our moment today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, there's three invitations in this passage that I want to bring to our attention. Three invitations. One is to be present in the presence. Two is to be present in the promise. And three is to be present in the partnership. That we as people are physically present for one another, but also emotionally, spiritually, mentally, emotionally present to what God is doing. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to be first present in the presence. There's this invitation to draw near. Let us draw near. Let us go into the holy places of God. Have you ever been around somebody that you just know they've been with God lately? They've been with God lately. Man, I love getting around people that I know they've been with God lately. For a few Sundays, since we got back into this building, we've been calling people up to this altar here. There's nothing special about this school auditorium wooden altar where kids have fallen off and many a nose have been picked on this stage, and there's nothing particularly special about this place. But when we dedicate it to the Lord, and we come up here as an act of humility and surrender to God, God loves to meet with people here. And we have men and women often at the end of our service come up here. And I love talking to people after they've prayed with somebody up here. And I've had a couple of friends come up here and pray and go, "Who is that woman?" I go, "Oh, you mean Rachel Verdier. Yeah, who is that?" It's like, she got you, huh? God spoke to you through her. Uh-huh. "Who was that guy?" "Oh, that was Rex." "Who was that guy?" "Oh, that was Kaz." You know, and these people minister under the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're present to the presence. They know what God is doing. They know what God is speaking. They know how to tune their ear to heaven because it's not the first time that they've been there all week. It's not the first time that they've gotten in the presence of God this week or even today. They live there. They breathe there. They're present to what God is doing. And you know what? It's not a chore for them either. because they love the presence of God. And this invitation is not just for the spiritually elite. This is for each and every one of us. God's presence is available to each and every one of us as members of the house of God, as people of God. God wants to build his temple, that is his dwelling place. That's where the Spirit of God wants to live, right inside of each one of us. So that the presence of God can be with you in your workplace. The presence of God can be with you in that dark hour. The presence of God can be with you as you go on the subway. The presence of God can be with us as we navigate difficult situations in our work or in our marriage or in our family. The presence of God can be with us in that moment, speaking to us, giving us strength, giving us wisdom on how to navigate this crooked world. The presence of God is with us, but will we draw near? Will we take him up on that offer? Psalm 16 says this, "Make known to me the paths of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasure forevermore." The invitation is not to some sort of religious Peloton class where you get on the spiritual treadmill and you sweat it out and you gross it out and you barf it out and you just work and work and work and work. No, there's pleasure in the presence of God. It gets to be our joy. It gets to be our pleasure. It gets to be truly what we desire. Man, when I crack open my Bible in the morning and God meets me in that place, it's like that first drink of water after a long workout or after a long night, a good night of sleep. It's like that first sip of water. Man, the presence of God comes in and fills me up and gives me strength and gives me joy. And that's not because I'm so special. I'm just trying to whet your appetite in this moment. We're going to be present to the presence. Scripture invites us to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That sounds like an invitation to just sit up on the treadmill and run. God, and just be like word vomit constantly at God. God, thank you for this day and praise the Lord and praise the Lord and praise the Lord. That's not necessarily prayer. Prayer is a conversation, right? So if God is continually asking us to converse with him, that means that he's also got something to say. That he's always got a thought. He's always got something to build you up. He's always got some wisdom to give you something if we'll only be present to the presence. God is inviting us in to be present with him. Secondly, he wants us to be present with the promise. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised, he's faithful." Can we be present in the promise? Present in the promise. What is this confession of hope? What is this confession of hope? Well, in Scripture, there's one confession of hope. There's tons of different promises and things that are offshoots of this, but there's essentially one trunk upon which every branch finds its way back to, and it's this. It's the gospel. The gospel is the good news that God became man, that he lived the life we should have lived. He died the death that we deserve on the cross, and then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving himself to be God, and gives us life and forgiveness forevermore if we'll confess Jesus is Lord. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yeah. Romans 10, 9, for it's with your mouth you confess, with your heart you believe and you're justified. So will we make this confession, Jesus is Lord, and behind that is all of this understanding of what God has done for me, that he's broken through, that he's forgiven my sins, that he's raised from the dead, that I don't have to fear death, I don't have to fear sickness, that I don't have to fear pain, because God is with me. Yeah. I was talking to somebody this morning, she says, I've got nothing to fear during this time, God's with me. God's risen from the dead, and I got to share that with my neighbor. Praise God, we've got nothing to fear. Yeah. Will that be our confession? I was so blessed to be raised in a Christian home, and it became my confession at 2 years old, Jesus is Lord. But I got to confess it again in high school when I started facing temptations and new social pressures. Again, I got to say, Jesus is Lord. When I became a pastor of a young congregation and I got betrayed by some of my closest people in that congregation in Scotland, I got to confess it again, Jesus is Lord. And I got to say it again when my brother died. Jesus is Lord. And I got to say it again when I needed finances to move to New York City. Jesus is Lord. And I get to say it again when the school calls and says, hey, you're going to have to get out of here in June. Jesus is Lord. And you get to say it again and say it again and say it again. And we're going to hold fast to our confession of hope. We're not going to let it go. We're not going to let it out of our mouth because Jesus is Lord. And it gives us a hope and an assurance and a way through every obstacle. You've said it on the mountaintop. It's time to say it again in the valley. Jesus is Lord. We're going to hold fast to our confession of faith. We're not going to let it go. There's so many promises in Scripture. And I'd encourage you, get a hold of scriptural confession. Look at yourself in the mirror and speak the words of life and truth over your life. Speak it when you don't feel like it. Speak it when you're depressed. Speak it when you're sick. Speak it when you're so mad at that person. So mad at the situation in our nation. My goodness, there's so many reasons to be mad. But rather than letting the madness take over, let the word of God take over. Speak it. Speak it. Speak those words of truth. Speak those words of life. Confess it over your life until the word of God becomes your lived reality. Hold tight to the confessions of our hope because he who promised is faithful. I'd like to actually do a little spiritual exercise here today. If you're able, could you stand with me? We're going to confess the scripture over our lives here today. And so this is a spiritual practice that you can take home and do at any time. But I'm just going to lead us in some confessions of faith here today. And they're straight out of Scripture. Confessions. We've got confessions here. Confession one, I've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of an imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. And we say together, I've been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. Second one. Here we go. Because I am born of God, I will overcome the world. Because I am born of God, I will overcome the world. I am part of a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and I belong to God. I know God, and he knows me. He has lavished his love on me and called me a child of God. When Christ appears, I will be like him. Christ is not ashamed to call me his brother. Even while I was an enemy of God, Christ died for me. Thank you, Jesus. And nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. You may be seated. But friends, as we talk about presence, our physical bodies matter. God didn't just make us disembodied people. He put us in physical bodies, not because physical bodies are bad, and then he hates our body, and one day he hopes to free us from our physical body and bring us up into heaven and turn us into fat little babies that sit on clouds and are disembodied little cherubs up there worshiping God. No, he put us in flesh and blood because he cares about flesh and blood. And he cares about what your flesh and blood does. When you turn up, there is spiritual authority behind it. When you speak with your words, there's spiritual authority behind it. And I felt something shift as we spoke. Not timidly, but with confidence and with assurance. We got into the rhythm, right? Something shifted, something changed. And this spiritual practice, this discipline of speaking and confessing the word is yours for free. It's yours for free. I'm going to work with our communication director. I'm going to send out a wonderful little resource of scriptural confessions that I stole these from, and we'll get it to your inbox this week if you're a part of our mailing list. So it's yours for free. Just giving away, you know, what God wrote. Thirdly, we want to be present in the promises of God. Present to the presence of God. Present in the promise of God. Thirdly, present in the partnership. God has given you a partnership to be present in. And I'm not just talking about your spouse. Thankful for those. Thankful for those kinds of partners. But also, God has knit us here together as a spiritual family. He's brought us here together from every tribe, language, nation, and tongue, from different backgrounds and ethnicities, even from different religious backgrounds, here together to confess Jesus is Lord together. And doing so is not light, it's not trivial, it's not trite that we would be brought together into this space. But we want to be present to one another. Many times we think of just getting into the room is enough. I'm proud of you, especially if you've got a family, especially if you're digging yourself out of depression, especially if you're overcoming obstacles, and I know each of us are. I'm proud of us for getting into the room today. But now there's something for us to do here. We don't just want to be present physically. We want to be present to what God is asking us to do, present in the partnership that God has for us, for one another. This is what it says out of our passage. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let us consider it. Consider it. So what the author of Hebrews, you know, we often quote this as just get yourself to church. I've used this passage so many times. Like, yeah, don't neglect the assembling of the saints. Okay. But there's something more that the author is calling us to. Let us consider how to stir up one another. Meaning, before you ever step foot in the room, before you get on the line for your connect group, before you meet up with that friend from church, consider, have it in your heart, have it in your mind, God, what are you doing in their life? Where are they coming from? What are they overcoming? What are they facing? How can I be an encouragement to them to do all that you've called them to do? So that not only am I present in this moment, but I can call their consciousness into your consciousness, God, and their life can start to resonate with the frequencies of heaven to see all that you have for them unlocked in their life. That I can partner with the Holy Spirit to see miracles happen somewhere else. It's not just about me now. Now my life becomes about others. The Holy Spirit isn't just to be on you, but to move through you. The blessings aren't just for you, but they're for you to channel and direct and to give. That's why God loves a cheerful or a generous giver, is so that he can entrust us with more resources for us to channel and accomplish his purposes on earth. It's not just for me. It's for you. It's for your family. It's for your friends. It's for your generations. It's not just for you. It's for your neighbors. It's for the friends at the pickup line at school. It's for your colleagues. It's for your, dare I say it, your boss. Is for that ornery person at your workplace or at your school or in your high school. It's for you to give. Will we be present to what God wants to do through us? Will we consider how to stir up somebody else, how to provoke them into all that God has called them to be? Consider it. Are you present to it? Then he goes on, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day draw near. This word neglect, not neglecting. It's the same Greek word for forsake. It's the same word that Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's the same promise from Hebrews 13 that God will never leave you or forsake you. It means he's not going to leave you in your moment of need. He's not going to leave you in your moment of need. Let's not neglect to meet one another. Let's not forsake each other, meaning that when you come into this space, it's about more than you. That you're here not just to be filled up or encouraged or get the spiritual, you know, kind of kick in the bum that you might need, but it's for you to be an encouragement to somebody else. Don't neglect it. Don't sleep on it, but be present to the partnership that God has called you into. And I thank God for this church. There is an encouragement on this house. I leave here encouraged. I don't leave here discouraged. Something like 80% of pastors are depressed on Monday because on Sunday they poured it out and they weren't encouraged by their congregation. And, you know, you pour it out and then you come up afterwards and go, oh, how are the finances? You know? Oh, that was really good, but I thought you missed the point here. Thank God. You know, I know I missed the point. I miss every point. Thank God I can be encouraged, though. We can encourage each other. Rather than calling out, we call up. That's something that's on this place. I'm not saying that we're perfect. We're far from perfect. You kidding me? But rather than calling out, we can call up. We just know that that just means that God has more for that man or woman. There's another level that they get to go to, and we're going to call them up into it. There's an encouragement on this place. I love being here because we're encouraging people. And even if you're not able to physically get in the room, today my family is not physically in the room. I thought it was funny that I got to preach this for the first time, you know, in so long. My wife Ailsa and I are not in church together. She's at home with our newborn and our other two children. And I was encouraged this week from Numbers chapter 11. There's a story of two guys that missed the meeting. Moses called a meeting of 70 elders, and only 68 came, and he was going to impart the Spirit of God to them. And Mebad. Yeah, he missed the meeting. He missed the meeting. And they were out there in the camp, but these two guys started prophesying and praising God, and the people around them said, hey, you missed the meeting. You shouldn't be able to do that. And Moses said, no. God's pouring out his Spirit on them. Let them prophesy. Let him speak the truth in the life. And I'm thankful that we serve a God that's not just in one location, but he's also able to minister through our online service. And there are people that have been attending there faithfully. And some of us might want to judge somebody that's only able to make it online and say, you've forsaken. No, forsake is a heart position before it's ever a physical position as well. And so we're thankful for people attending online. We're thankful for people attending in person. And we're thankful for everybody supplying the strength that they've got into this body so that, as Ephesians 3 says, it can grow as the body grows up, each part supplying the proper strength so it can grow up in love into the head of Jesus. We're a body. We're a body. Some of our body parts are hurting today. And we're praying that God would provide strength and encouragement. Some of our body parts are doing well. Praise God. My encouragement to you, that strength isn't just for you. It's for you to supply strength into somebody else's life. Encouragement to somebody else. And my encouragement is, let us consider how to come into this place with more than enough, having already touched heaven and prayed for somebody else and ready to lift and encourage and bring into all that God has for somebody else. Every time we turn up physically, it's a proclamation. Our bodies, where we put our bodies, matter. Tech companies have figured out how to monetize this little tiny point out in front of your eyes, your point of focus. And it's worth billions upon billions of dollars. What you look at, they've monetized that. How much more where we put our physical body? How much more is that worth? It's worth so much to God. It's no coincidence that God would put me halfway between my brand new baby being born and our church building. How wild. It's no coincidence that you're here today with your physical body and your full self. It's no coincidence. Every time we walk into the room, it's a proclamation. It's extraordinary. God has already done something amazing. And there's a number of proclamations that you make every time you just walk into the room. Number one, I'm a work in progress, meaning God's not done with me yet. I'm believing for more. Number two, I need regular fellowship. My life is more about more than just me. I don't walk alone. Number three, God is worthy of my time. I want to honor with my time and set aside an hour to 2 hours every week just to be with God and to be with his people. God is worthy of my time. I value my brothers and sisters. It's not just about me needing regular worship or regular connection, but it's also about my value that I can add to them. I value you, brothers and sisters, and my God will be worshiped in my city, because even in New York City, even in a city that's so busy, even in the city that never sleeps, there is a people who will carve out time to give glory to God, and their name is at very least Every Nation NYC. Come on. Yeah. That's who we are. It's who we are. So every time we walk into the room, there's a proclamation. It's valuable. But I also want to share some protection, because there is a habit for some of us to fall out. And I know as I speak this, I'm literally preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to people who turned up to church about turning up to church, you know? But I think of Peter, who says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, Jesus. And then, two sentences later, he's there going, I never knew him. So I know, but by the grace of God, that's me. I could easily leave the faith. I could easily leave my brothers and sisters. I could easily do something foolish and never come back. And so, God, what protections can I put in my soul that I'm going to stick with it and stick it through for each other? And so I asked people, I've been asking people for the past week, you know, what during a season maybe that drew you out of church or drew you out of fellowship, what were the things? What have you witnessed in other people's lives? What have you seen? And number one thing that came up was shame. The church is holy and I'm not. God's holy and I'm not. And that's so frustrating, because the whole story of Scripture is that, yeah, you were unworthy, but Jesus came and he died. He literally put his body on the line to make you worthy. So whatever you've done, whatever your background, this is your home. This can be your family. These can be your people. Because we're a bunch of broken people, healed by the grace of God, centered around the cross of Jesus Christ. And we know what it is to have been in shame and to be set free from shame. We know that story, and we know it well. And so wherever you're coming from today, this can be your family. This can be your home. Don't let shame have the final word. Even in our passage says, let us draw near with true hearts, full assurance, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What is that referencing? It's referencing communion, the body and blood of Jesus, and baptism. And this is a great moment for us to recognize that Jesus has done the work that we couldn't do through his body and blood, that we remember when we take communion, and through the washing of symbolized in baptism. And I've got to say, on June 5th, we're going to baptize a lot more folks. We're going to get them up on stage and go outside and baptize more people. And if you're ready to take that step of faith and be baptized here with us as an adult, as a believer, this can be your moment. You can register on our website at ennyc.info. But don't you dare let shame have the final word. I was talking to a man who had been a pastor. And in front of his whole congregation, he fell into sin. And in front of his whole congregation, he confessed his sin. And then he kept going to that church as a believer, just as an attender. And I said, bro, what? Why did you do that? You could have just, you know, slipped out the back and gone to a different church. You could have gone, you know, just, there's thousands of churches in your neighborhood. Why didn't you choose a different one? And he said, you know, Nathan, it's just that I really value spiritual family. Really value spiritual family, and that's the kind of place that I would love for this place to be, that we could confess our sins publicly, and shame has no place. Shame has no place here because of the work of Jesus. Another common thing that causes people to just get shot out of church is offense. Pastor said the wrong thing. That person voted the wrong way. That person didn't call me back. And church pain and church hurt is so real. So real. We've all been hurt by somebody else in a church. If you stick around long enough, you'll probably get hurt here. It's like a family, right? If you stick in your family long enough, you'll get hurt there too. But a protection that we can put on our heart is, one, choosing to operate under the grace of Jesus, knowing that the same sin that's in them is in me. Right? Jesus said, if you see a speck in somebody's eye, examine the log that's growing out of your own. So whatever offensive behavior I see in my brother or my sister, man, the same thing is in me. And so it turns into an opportunity for me to get humble before God, to take my pains and my griefs before the Lord, for me to take my offenses before him, and God, by your grace, find a way to soften my heart towards them. God has put us in a diverse community, which is difficult because there is not one culture here that we want to be dominant. which means that all of us get to sit a little bit uncomfortably, like sitting on a fat wallet. You know, there's just like something here. What is this? Well, this is just, nobody gets to be fully at home here. It's not a white church. It's not a black church. It's not a Filipino church. It's a church filled with every language and nation and tribe and people, which means that we get to be comfortably uncomfortable together, to honor each other, to learn how to say hello in a new language, to learn about somebody's new food. Yes, please. to honor, to respect, to love other cultures, to care about what's happening in the world, for our worldview to be opened up and for us to be comfortably uncomfortable together. But we will choose in this moment to not be offended. We will choose to allow offense to be an opportunity, not just to receive the grace of Jesus, but to allow the grace of Jesus to flow through us. Thirdly, there's always a shifting of priorities, and it can get quite tiresome to come into church believing for your miracle and believing for your miracle and believing for your miracle and for that miracle to not quite come. And my stepmom, Lynette, did an incredible message last week about her faith and her battle and long-term faith with fertility and walking with other women in this congregation and seeing God break through. And for some, I'm sure that was a big shot of faith. And for some, that was probably like taking you out at your knees, like, man, they got the miracle and I didn't. And we recognize that pain and we recognize the wrestle in this moment. That not everything is fully summed up and nicely, neatly with a bow on it, but we choose in these moments to keep pressing forward, to continue to prioritize Jesus. Even if he doesn't do everything that we want, we're still going to prioritize you, Jesus. That we're not just seeking the gift, but the giver. We're not just seeking the blessing, but the blesser. We're not just seeking the presence, but the actual God of the presence. We choose to keep our eyes fixed on him, and one way that we do it is by gathering and carving out weekly time. I was talking to one young man that also said, you know, I was away from church for years, and I did it because I thought I could do it by myself. And I see now I was so prideful. And so I wouldn't use the word pride, but he did. And so the fourth thing that I just want to highlight is we do need each other. There's no superhuman here. God has called us together, not as one person, but to become one body from all sorts of different backgrounds that add strength, that add insight, that adds point of view together into this body. And so with this, I'd like to start to close, invite Ken back up. Why? Why do we do all of this? Why do we choose to prioritize the presence of God? Why do we choose to continue to be present in the promise? Why do we choose to be present to one another in this partnership? Why? Because I could just say, do, and we could leave going here, like, man, pastor just gave me like several more hours of work I've got to do every week. And that is not my heart at all, because there's no way that we can work our way into the presence of God. There's no way that we can try hard enough to do the things that God is calling us to do. But in each one of these things, it's let us. There's an invitation. And if we miss this as an invitation, and if we receive it as a command, then it can mess us up and make us religious, perfunctory, hard-hearted people. And I want to go back to the start of this passage that tells us the why. Why should we do this work? Why should we be committed to these crazy, weird people, this big, weird family? My family's got enough problems. Why do I have to have a big family? Here's why. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, and by the new and living way that he's opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us. What does this mean? In the temple, for thousands of years in the Jewish faith, they had a temple. It was one temple in one place in Jerusalem, and it sat on a hill. And there was a courtyard, and people were allowed to gather. And then within the courtyard, there was another courtyard, and it said only Jews are allowed to come into this courtyard. And then within that courtyard, there was another wall. And it said only priests are allowed to go past this point. And beyond that, there was another barrier and another barrier until you got to a curtain. And behind the curtain, no one was allowed to go, except for one priest once a year. And he would wash himself with water, and he would sprinkle blood, and he would go into that space once a year. And that curtain separated all of the peoples of the world from all of the promises of God, from the presence of God, from everything that we've ever hoped and dreamed. There was a curtain between us and God. Between now and eternity, they laid a curtain. Between desire and fulfillment, a curtain. Between a dream and the achievement of the dream, the curtain. Between the profane and the holy, there had to be a curtain. There was something that separated us from God. There was a curtain. And Jesus said, I'm going to come to remove this curtain. I'm going to allow heaven and earth to collide right here, right now, by forgiving sin and releasing promises, by removing the profane and healing people. I'm going to bring these worlds together so that the distance between me and you and God Almighty is zero. He brought it together. And so while we're out searching the world for the achievement that we want and the dream that we want to fulfill, let's remember that the dream giver and the achiever and the God Almighty, he's right there with us. And to not sleep on the one that's allowed for every beautiful thing in this world to even exist in the first place. Every relationship, every good meal, every promotion, every good idea has its origin, has its giver, has its God. And today we can be united with him so that the distance between you and God Almighty is absolutely none. And you can walk through this world with peace, assurance, knowing moment by moment, I'm his and he's mine. Let's not miss our moment. Father, thank you for reducing that gap, for bringing us together. God, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, for any shame in this room, we command it now to go. Thank you, Lord, that you've done the work that we couldn't do. Thank you, Lord, for healing our hearts. Lord, I know that there's physical healing that's needed here. I know that there's emotional healing that's needed here. God, I pray that in this place, we'd be present to what you're doing, that we'd make the most of every opportunity, right here, right now, in Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.